strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Ring. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up. He makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
We've got more going on here than an Isaiah Simmons game plan with the positional flexibility. Are you kidding me? In fact, Ron Wolfley, if all goes well, you will conduct an interview that goes as well as the combine interview of Isaiah Simmons once upon a time in Indianapolis with Corey Peters on deck, just a two-time team captain and the player rep for the Arizona Cardinals with the players' union. We got all that coming your way. Plus, we'll get a little taste, a little snippet of the Cardinals flight plan episode, the tease, little bonus episode, if you will, that is dropping right about this same time. I don't care if it's COVID-19. I don't care if it's the offseason. We have plenty going on when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, and we're here for everyone on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Paulie, I got to tell you right now, I'm pretty jacked up about the Isaiah Simmons release, of course. The Cardinals flight plan coming out, oh, even as we speak. Is it not right now, right? So it's coming out, and supposedly there's some raw footage in there of Isaiah Simmons in a conversation with him. I cannot wait to see that. This is the stuff, Paul, that I miss the most. Sitting in a room, right, a position room, listening to an NFL coach grease it up on the board or ask a player questions, engage a player in questioning. I just love that and miss that so much. And it's going to be so cool to see Isaiah Simmons actually in that situation.
I mean, just some of the interviews we've seen from the combine. I mean, you can't help but automatically you're completely sucked into the screen in a day and age where we're multitasking. When you get that all access behind the scenes footage, you're all in. At least I am.
Oh, yeah.
I'm completely locked in. And I know they're going to start them out at a single position.
Right.
And I know it's the NFL. And I know it's going to be a reduced offseason. And there's not going to be nearly as much time out on the grass, as Cliff Kingsbury likes to say. But I still expect to see enough positional flexibility in Isaiah Simmons, at least during passing downs, third and long, second and long, where I really do expect him to be an X factor of type that they're going to dial up. What do you think, Wolf? Is that realistic?
No, I do think it's realistic, Paul. But I don't think you need to change his position, so to speak. Does that make sense? It's not like suddenly you have to say, okay, you're going to play safety on this play. Okay, you're going to play slot corner on this play. Oh, you're going to walk up on the edge and be our defensive end. I don't think you have to do that. I think what you can do is create defenses and certain plays, let's put it that way, right? Just like an offense, you have certain plays where you move a running back around and he does a lot of different things, right? Sometimes he's doing the chores, so to speak, of a wide receiver in the slot. Sometimes you move him outside. Sometimes you put him in the eye, whatever it may be. You move him around and then let him go about his business. I'm wondering if that's not what they're going to do with Isaiah Simmons, because once again, they don't want to overload this kid. Don't do it. Let him show you what he's able to handle, and when he can handle it, then you give him a little bit more. But I don't think you have to move him all over the field.
We're going to get a little taste of what we're talking about when we come back. Isaiah Simmons from the Combine. Also, we're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury on what it's been like, some of the virtual learning, installing the playbook, what it means for rookies. And then we get to sit down and talk with Corey Peters. Wolf, is there any guy you enjoy more than the company and wisdom of Corey Peters when we're out on the road, correct?
Very few, Paul.
So Corey Peters will join us, a team captain the last couple of years, and what he has also launched effective today, all straight ahead on the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
So you're just a cover guy or a run stopper? I mean, what do you?
Yeah, I mean, I can do it all. Yourself? I mean, I can go cover your slot, tight end, running back, spy the quarterback, play in the box.
What do you hear talking about this?
In the cover four, I would come down to the line if the guy was attached. So if he was an attached tight end, then I would come down the line and be an edge defender, as well as a late flat player. So if he would
still be a late flat player.
If the number two receiver was to run straight to the flat, then I would take it.
Okay.
This is a blitz where I'm ripping into the B gap and then coming underneath all blockers that come to me.
You go through people?
Yes.
Okay. All right, now you're in the box.
In this situation, I'm just a spy player for the quarterback. Okay. So wherever he goes, I go get him.
Hashtag seek and destroy. A little window into the Combine interview, and you're getting more of that effective tonight. The Cardinals YouTube page, youtube.com/AZ Cardinals, that bonus mini episode of Cardinals Flight Plan. It dropped top of the hour. First impressions of Isaiah Simmons. That was part of the Combine meeting. You'll get a lot more of that. And it's so intriguing, Ron Wolfley, as we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Even Chandler Jones to the media was talking about Isaiah Simmons this week, and he said he thought that Isaiah Simmons was a pass rusher and that he put on Isaiah Simmons film to learn about Isaiah Simmons and didn't quite realize how many different positions that Isaiah Simmons can play. And he said, after watching the game film, this is Chandler Jones now, he said, I was surprised he fell to eight. And he also mentioned in Isaiah Simmons that he's not surprised if an Isaiah Simmons becomes the face of the NFL on defense. That's what Chandler Jones
you know
had
what,
to say.
Honestly, Bully, let's just go out and let this kid grow. Let's let him learn the game. Let's let him go out and understand and engage the process of getting better without all that expectation on him saying, oh my goodness, he's going to be the next great superstar in the NFC West. Let him go out and just play well. One game, and then do it in two games, and then three. I know how we want to praise this guy. I understand that. I do. I really do. But I can tell you right now that these rookies need to take little bites when they come into the NFL for the most part. Even Kyler Murray. Think about Kyler Murray. Think about how he struggled in that first NFL game and really how he didn't hit his stride until maybe week 8 or 9, Paulie.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. The offense was evolving, but he didn't hit his stride until November, as far as I'm concerned. And even as talented as he is, NFL Rookie of the Year, ladies and gentlemen, and yet he had to go through a process. I just don't want to heap a ton on this kid yet. Let him learn. Let him get better at his pace.
That's right. The guy who put the nickname on him, you know, Lizard King.
King. That's right. Lizard King. Because he is a freak, right? We know that much.
You're out there
saying he's a race or axe.
By the way, we both got ripped by the voice of the Cardinals, Dave Pasch. We really should
have bring it up again.
We should have heeded the advice in hindsight of Quentin Harris, director of player personnel, who we will hear from a little later in the show, when he called Isaiah Simmons whatchamacallit in response to what kind of can't. That's what you should just go with whatchamacallit.
I'm done with that, Paul.
Okay. Here's Cliff Kingsbury. When you talk about the rookies, whether it's Isaiah Simmons or whomever, he was asked, you know, when they do get on the grass, what do they need to do?
You know, with the rookies, just making sure they know where to line up. You know, that's one hesitation about the Zoom meetings is everybody's going to say nod and say, yes, sir, I got it. And when you get out there, sometimes they don't got it. With the entire team, just the chemistry, the rapport, get guys around each other. It's a shortened time to be around each other. So you want to build that team chemistry. You want to build a culture and make sure that, you know, everybody's in this thing together.
All right, so we have no idea. We can look into our crystal football all we want and try and forecast the future here. It's so fluid. We have no idea. We presume the offseason is blown out. Is training camp going to commence as in years past, a traditional camp? We're not sure. But with all that in mind, Ron Wolfley, do you think it's less likely that some of these rookies that we're so bullish on will see meaningful playing time, especially in September, because of 2020?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think there's a possibility, Paulie, but it comes down to the preseason, right? It really does. What does the preseason look like, Paul? That's what I want to know right now, because I think you'll see a lot more rookies playing a lot longer in preseason if, in fact, they're missing these OTAs, right, in the off season, the way that they are right now. But I do want to talk about this, Paulie, because the virtual off season, the virtual meetings that are going on right now, when you install plays, right, into your playbook, installation based on audience, when you install these plays, it really is a 4-step process, Paulie. Did you know that?
4 steps.
It's a 4-step process.
Okay. Where's my pen? Here we go.
Number one, Paulie, the coach, for the most part, again, and believe me, coaches do it differently. I'm speaking in generalities here. But for the most part, you're going to get a coach up in front of his position room, and he's going to break down the play with the players looking at their playbook. Get out your playbook. He'll break down the play, talking about it in a very general kind of way. The object of the play, so to speak, the purpose of the play, why this play is a good play, whatever it may be, the philosophy of the play overall. Then what he does is he goes to step two, Paulie. He's going to grease it up on the board, right? All of a sudden, okay, here we go. Now, listen, here's the front. He'll grease up different fronts, and then he'll walk you through the play and talk about it as he's greasing it up on the board. And then when he's done with that, step three, let's turn on the tape. He'll take the grease pen, he'll put it down, go sit down, say, let's turn on the tape, and then they all go out onto the field. It's a 4-step process, and that 4th step is critical. You heard Cliff Kingsbury say, you know what, yeah, on Zoom they'll look at you and say, yeah, I got it, coach, and they don't got it. Let me tell you, they'll do that in person. They'll do it in person as well, and Cliff knows that. How many guys probably have looked them dead in the eye, said, I've got it, coach, and they go out on the practice field, Paul, and they blow the first 4 plays.
Well, and we know this. Even I know this. If the coaches don't trust you, they won't play you.
You got that right.
And with that in mind, the player coach in the defensive line room is going to join us next. 2-time team captain Corey Peters on the Big Red Rage. And wait to hear what he launched today. And what does he think about the draft picks? The 2 big defensive linemen that are going to join him this year. That's all next on the Big Red Rage.
It's a stretch play to the left for Peterson. He's in trouble in the backfield, taken down for a loss at the 4-yard line. Corey Peters back there. Goff takes the snap, hands it off Gurley up the middle, and he's grabbed in the backfield and brought down. Corey Peters made the hit. No gain. Gets smothered in the backfield at the 43. Again, it's Corey Peters.
Corey Peters coming from the backside. Balling.
Smash by Corey Peters. So no gain on the play. Man, we've seen Peters do that a lot. I mean, you feel him and you hear him up here.
Man, I'll tell you right now, that was like Corey Peters just shoved some lint into his belly button.
He started all 16 games a year ago. Team captain the past 2 years. About 47 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 6 tackles for loss. He had 6 quarterback hits. The unquestioned leader in that defensive line room. And Ron Wolfley, you do have a couple of things in common with our guest tonight. Okay, that whole team captain thing, okay, you both have that on your resume. But you've also both been taken down at different points in your career by Larry Fitzgerald.
Indeed.
Now, Corey Peters fared much better as an accomplished high school wrestler and a heavyweight than you did. But at least you do share that common bond, Corey. Isn't that correct? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. How y'all doing? And that's absolutely correct. I'm always going to do a little bit better than Wolf.
Oh man, Corey. Corey, how are you doing, man, honestly, right now? You know, you're in quarantine. We're all sheltering in place. How are you holding up through this time?
I'm doing well, man. I'm just trying to use the time to the best of my ability and work on some things I've been putting off. And obviously just going to the parks and working out as much as possible and trying to stay in as good a shape as I can get in.
Are you a guy who needs the strength and conditioning coach to yell at you? Do you have enough self-discipline to not end up being 390 pounds by the time this is done?
No, I prefer to just handle my own business and keep everybody off my back. But one thing that has been tough for me is just I'm used to getting together with a group of guys and kind of doing group workouts, and I think the camaraderie always helps with that. So it's been a little bit different kind of having to do things on my own and when things are really getting tough, just to keep pushing through.
Corey, you know what? You've had a lot of additions this offseason to the defensive side of the football, right? Jordan Phillips, of course, Devon Kennard, Devondre Campbell. There's a lot. Isaiah Simmons with the draft, even the draft, all the defensive players. How much better do you think this defense will be in 2020?
Oh, man, I'm so excited about it. I think we have an excellent opportunity to kind of make that huge transition and really try to push for the playoffs and make some noise. I love what they did in free agency with the Hopkins deal. And on paper, everything is looking really good. So I'm excited about the season and to see what kind of comes from it. You know, obviously, I've seen lots of teams put together on paper that look really good that fail when the season starts. So really it's going to be about us getting together whenever we can and clicking and figuring out what's best for us and hopefully when the season starts. Be clicking on all cylinders and ready to roll.
Hey, we have Corey Peters in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. It's all about you, Corey Peters. At the end of last season, the D&D line didn't exactly stand for depth. And they went out and they got Jordan Phillips. He's a mountain of a man. What do you know about him? What can you tell us about Jordan Phillips and how you think he might impact that defensive front?
I think it's going to be great for us. He's a very disruptive player, very strong player. And, he's done a great job in his career thus far. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table through these virtual meetings so far. Very intelligent guy. So I'm very excited to kind of get to meet him in person and to work with him. And I think the defensive line as a whole is going to be much improved with the new young guys coming along and the guys we got returning. And then also we got a new coach. Coach Buck is back. I love Buck. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great opportunity for us to kind of refocus and get back on track.
What is it you love about Coach Buck? What is that you love about him, Corey?
I love his brutal honesty. I think as a player, the one thing you can hope for is for a coach that'll hold you to a standard, somebody that sets a standard that's high but reachable and holds everybody to that same standard. And then also helps you reach it, you know, find ways for you to be successful, works with you as opposed to more of a dictatorship. So those are some things that I really like about him. I think he's done a great job in his career. The first time he was here, obviously he had a lot of success with Oakland last year. And so I think it's going to be a good addition for us.
Is there anything he ever told you that kind of took you aback? You're like, wow, I mean, he almost hurt my feelings here. I mean, has he ever been just brutally blunt with you in your game?
Well, I think, when I met Coach Buck, I was a little bit older, so I kind of missed those rookie, but he's very honest with me about, my play. And if I don't play well, he probably says it a little bit nicer to me than he would, but other people. But, I really appreciate that. And he's a guy that I know I have to be on point. And he's going to bring the best out of me every day.
Corey, Vance Joseph was talking about the fact that Jordan Phillips and Cliff Kingsbury as well was talking about it. Jordan Phillips can play the one, he can play the three, or he can play the five. And they plan on moving him all over the place. So who's going to play the one more, you or Jordan Phillips?
I mean, I'm here to do whatever. I think one thing we've talked about in our room is position flexibility and being able to kind of put everybody in a position to have success. Obviously with the first-round draft pick Simmons, he's a physical freak and obviously mismatch, and he can do a lot of different things. So, I'm just excited to see what our defense looks like. I think we have opportunities all over the place, and nobody's really sure what it's going to look like on opening day, but I'm excited about the possibilities, and I think that if everybody comes back, in shape and ready to go, we have a great opportunity for success.
Chandler Jones said he went online, he watched some of the film of Isaiah Simmons. How about you with the two rookies you have in your room, the fourth-round guys, Lucky Fotu and Rashard Lawrence? Did you go and take a quick glance, and what are your first impressions?
First, just from meeting them and talking to them on the phone on the video chat, very intelligent, responsible young men, great guys to add to the team, and for me, I'm just looking forward to getting into training camp and really seeing what they got. It's hard to tell, on the college film based on, competition, schemes, and different things like that. So to see if they can do what we're going to be asking them to do, which from what I've seen, I think they're capable. So I'm just excited to have a lot of new faces in our room, guys that bring a lot of talent, the right attitude, and hopefully will develop nicely for us.
Corey, on the defensive side of the ball, what position room is being hurt the most by not having OTAs?
I would say it would be the secondary, probably safeties. Mm-hmm. A lot of route combinations that they need to see, a lot of adjustments that they need to make, maybe linebackers too. It's a lot of communication there that needs to happen. D-line is pretty simple as far as teaching scheme-wise. You know, we don't have to communicate a lot of things. A lot of things are being told to us on the field. So, you know, if you can listen, you can play in a lot of situations. So the guys that have the communication roles, the linebackers and some of the safeties, that's going to be a more difficult task for them. But, you know, if they take advantage of the opportunities that we have here, you know, I think it's it's possible to learn the information this way.
We got Cardinals team captain Corey Peters, D-lineman, here on the Big Red Rage. Now, a year ago, we didn't see a whole bunch, obviously, of Zach Allen, the third-round pick. What do you expect this year? I mean, what should we think and make of Zach Allen in 2020?
Well, I think that, you know, Zach came in and obviously battled injuries. And, you know, I guess in my estimation, I would look at it as a bit of a red shirt year, opportunity to watch the film all year and to learn from other guys playing. I know he's been working hard this offseason, getting stronger. So, you know, I expect him to step into that rotation. And I'm not exactly sure what role he'll have, but I'm expecting to see him on the field a lot. And the way we play, you know, any defensive lineman that's going to be dressed out is going to be, you know, an active part of the game plan.
You guys are a hot commodity for the media this offseason, and you haven't beaten anybody. Does this concern you, Corey?
I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
I was just saying that you guys have been a hot commodity for the media this offseason, getting a lot of praise, and you really haven't beaten anybody. Does that concern you at all inside that locker room?
No, it doesn't concern me. I think, you know, you can't listen to the media one way or the other, good or bad. You know, really what's going to determine what happens on that field is the men in the locker room. So for us, it's just about focusing on the process and getting better. Hopefully when training, you know, we can get back to training camp on time and are able to really have the time to work our way into a good team and be ready to go for the first game of the year.
Now, Corey, when we're on the team flight, I look over, and Wolf is always so eager to tell me about the 14th century literature that he's reading, and I'm just ready to fling myself out the window in mid-flight, to be honest with you. But you did something great. This virtual book club, they announced it today, the Corey Peters Playbook, to provide an educational outlet for all Arizona high school students during this COVID-19 crisis. Pick it up from there. Tell us what you're hoping to achieve and what it's all about.
So we've been doing book club for a while now over at South Point High School. Obviously, we've had to kind of cancel that with things that are going on. But, you know, this opportunity to kind of expand that program to more schools, you know, this pandemic is actually providing an opportunity to, you know, kind of have more children, more kids from different schools, different areas participate in our program. And so we're just going to read books and talk about the books. All of the books that we choose feature, you know, tasks and challenges that these kids might be facing, things they might see in their lives, talking about how to treat people, you know, non-bullying, stuff like that, stuff we deal with in our country. So for me, it's just an opportunity to get in front of these kids, give them something they can read for fun and to enjoy. And then also give them the opportunity to speak about it with the other kids and as well as me. And we just talk. And you will be so impressed by the thoughts and the conversations that come out of these book clubs and where they end up going. And so I'm proud of the work we've done. And I'm hopeful that, you know, I won't do a bad job running this virtual book club. You know, one thing that I think is funny is, now that all of the coaches and everything are on these virtual things, you know, you can see who's tech savvy and who's not pretty quickly. You know, and I'm not the most tech savvy person, but we're going to make it work and it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to it.
Corey, we're proud of you, man. You're one of our favorite guys. We love talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us, big guy.
By the way, we noticed that on Instagram the other day, you may have run into some bicycle issues. Did you not send out what? Never ride a bike further than you're willing to walk?
I'm telling you, good thing I was only about a mile and a half from the house. So I just walked it home. But you know, that's one of the things I've been doing to try to get some cardio in. And now I'm going to have to get that fixed.
So, Corey, did you buy that tractor? Are you riding it around the farm yet? I mean, are you doing that?
No, I'm not.
Not yet? Oh, okay.
Not yet.
I can't decide if Corey Peters in his post-playing career is going to be a farmer with a tractor or if you're going to be a senator. I haven't decided which route you're
both,
going exactly.
Paul.
Definitely not a senator. Too many skeletons. I know better than that.
Oh, boy.
You've seen enough as a player rep with the union and all that. You don't want to go that route.
Don't want to go that route.
Corey, God bless you and your family, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Every time we love visiting with Corey Peters. I mean, just the wisdom that you – any conversation, Corey Peters, football and otherwise, as we just experienced right there. It's just Wolf, whenever you're giving me some malarkey on the football side, I always go to Corey Peters in the locker room to verify, by the way. Thumbs up or thumbs down. We continue with the Big Red Rage right after this.
Tyler will be fired up, that's for sure. I mean, he's won some state championships there, and I don't know if he's ever lost in that building. So I know he'll be really excited. So hopefully he'll bring some more of that mojo into that stadium. But anytime you get to play in that stadium, Dallas Cowboys Monday night, it's going to be a lot of fun.
No question. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and certainly it'll be worthy of the national stage.
There you go. Team owner Michael Bidwell, Cliff Kingsbury. And how can you not get jacked up when you hear the Monday Night Football old school music right there? And then you start to realize, okay, Cardinals at Dallas on the national stage Monday night, week 6. And it's 47 miles from where Kyler Murray went to high school, Allen High School. And oh, by the way, he was 43-0 as a high school quarterback and 3 state titles. And he won at least one in that building, the Cowboys Stadium. And with that in mind, yes, the national TV executive said, okay, we can't resist. Cardinals at Cowboys, that's going in prime time.
Absolutely stunning, Paul. It really is, right? The schedule release came out, and it's just so funny because when you're a player, the first thing you do is you grab the schedule, and what do you think you're looking at, Paul? When you're looking at the bye. When
your
is
vacation.
The bye, right? Exactly. When is the bye? I hated the bye when I was a player, but I just wanted to see when it was. That's the first thing you're going to look at, right? For the most part, when you're a broadcaster, the first thing you look at is, okay, where are the tough road trips, right? Where are those going to be, and how difficult of games will that be? Well, the Arizona Cardinals overall, I would say, in the first 7 weeks of the season, Paul, they've got the bye in the 8th week. That's a good bye. Okay, it's not a great bye, but that is a good bye right there. You play 7 games, then you get the bye. That's a big deal. But the first 7 games, they open with a very, very tough game at San Francisco. I think we'd all agree right there, that is a tough game. I love it. More on this as to why I love this game being week 1 for them. But I love the fact that they're going to play a tough game right out of the chutes, and then they'll finish with a tough game against the Seahawks as well. In between those two games, there's winnable games there for the Arizona Cardinals. They got to make hay while the sun is shining.
Yeah, the only downside to that Monday night game is they do take on Seattle. Now it's at home, but it'll be on a short week, and the Seahawks will be coming off their bye. And so that is an intriguing aspect. But once again, as you mentioned, it all starts week 1 against the Niners. It's scheduled for San Francisco, at least Santa Clara. We'll see exactly what the regulations and rules in California do to that ultimately. But Cliff Kingsbury gave his first reaction on the schedule and opening at the Niners.
It's always challenging. Anytime you look at it, you're like, there's some really good teams on there. I mean, that's the NFL, and that's why people love it. But with us, it starts week 1. Obviously, we're trying to take it 1 week at a time. I know that sounds cliche, but when you look and it's the NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers on the road, that obviously gets your attention.
And Wolf, you believe right there that's valuable, right?
Yes,
just the caliber of the opponent.
Did you hear what he said? That gets your attention right there. Paulie, just stop and think of all the praise that has come down on the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, my goodness. Right? Paul.
From all angles, all national outlets.
Oh, my goodness. Kyler Murray, MVP, and the Arizona Cardinals, and rightfully so. It's good. It's a good thing to be looked at where you've made serious improvement in the offseason. There's no doubt about it. But let me tell you, guys start reading that stuff. And it's one of the reasons why it's important that the leaders inside that locker room say, you ignore all of that stuff. But this, playing the 49ers in San Francisco, Santa Clara, of course, okay, but playing them on the road, this gets your attention because this is Goliath in week one.
Well, and listen to the way Cliff Kingsbury said it. He didn't say, we're playing the Niners. He said, we're playing the NFC champion.
Correct.
49ers. How many times is he going to say that between now and September?
Boy, I'll tell you what, Paul. I hope he continues to say it, but I hope it's more like Corey Peters, by way of example, where Corey will walk up on somebody and go, man, you got to just knock it off. We haven't beaten anybody. We haven't done anything. You got to prove it. One of the best personality traits of a Bill Belichick team is he's got a bunch of guys in the locker room that say, we've got to go out there and prove it. You've got to prove yourself. And it's just a state of being. You got to go out and prove it in practice. You got to go out and prove it in a game. You have to prove it all season long. Prove it.
By the way, you can true or false, back in his day, Roy Green was a 49ers killer, was he not?
Oh, yeah, totally. Roy.
Because did you see the story? Kyle Odegaard connected with Roy Green, the all-time great, and member of the Cardinals' Ring of Honor, and with The Last Dance being all the rage, the docuseries on Michael Jordan. I had no idea that Roy Green is tight with Michael Jordan for a good 30 years.
Oh, all the time. Used to be, it was Roy Green. Here's the foursome. It was Roy Green. It was Tiger Woods. All right, it was Charles Barkley. And who's the guy you actually met? Who is it?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. Duh. It's those four guys right there, Paulie, that I'm telling you right now. They went out and played golf all the time.
I mean, some of the anecdotal stuff in Kyle's story, and you can read it at azcardinals.com about how MJ and Tiger would be in that foursome. They'd be so competitive, and let's just say they're in a different tax bracket, and they would just pay Roy to get off the green. They say, okay, here's just excuse yourself because we've got a lot of money riding on this hole. And he said, Roy said, I never made so much money as just getting paid off, just to get off the green and get out of the way.
Yeah, no fooling. He used to show me all the pictures, of course, Jetstream. Here you go. See this wolf? Oh, yeah, that's Tiger. Yeah, that's Michael. Okay. Just knock it off, Frontenac.
You know, if there's anybody who has a cell phone and a contact list that rivals Larry Fitzgerald, it might be Roy Green. Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's no doubt, Paul.
Some of the names he must have in his cell phone and some of the people that he's rubbed elbows with just hanging out with Michael Jordan. I mean, I feel big time just knowing that I've sat next to Roy Green now in some of the pregame shows. I mean, that's good stuff, though. I mean, that was intriguing to read about. And Wolf, you forget how talented Roy Green was in his prime.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, he led the NFC in receiving yards. He was a big-time threat in the league.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so bullish on the Arizona Cardinals when I look at their schedule once again. First of all, I see six, maybe seven playoff teams immediately, Paul. I see six where I go, that's a playoff team. Now, once again, whether they are or aren't really doesn't matter. They're going to have to go out and prove it. But for the most part, just looking at their rosters, I see an opportunity for the Cardinals, especially in that first half of the season, to make a little hay. And if they're going to make a little hay while the sun is shining, that sun's going to look an awful lot like DeAndre Hopkins.
You're right. I mean, I've come around to your way of thinking. That Niners game obviously is going to be a benchmark, and you're going to find out a lot about yourself. But if you compete in that game, win or lose, you have the Redskins at home with a new head coach and, you know, a young quarterback. You have the Lions at home, obviously winnable. And we know the Cardinals are able to win a game in the 10 a.m. start at the Giants a year ago. They're at Carolina, at the Jets, and then those two big games against the two big NFC powers in Dallas and Seattle before the bye.
Absolutely, Paulie. I think they could be 5-2, 4-3. They got to win, though.
And by the way, you can get in on single game tickets right now. Just go to azcardinals.com/tickets, azcardinals.com/tickets. We continue with the Big Red Rage.
About the first month, we were all learning together how to operate, what we could be as an offense, and it took some time. And Kyler just grew and grew. Games slowed down for him tremendously. He was playing at a very high level late in the year.
Caught, touchdown, Dan Arnold. Let's go!
Knowing what I know now, you know, I didn't know it coming into this season. And I'm just excited to get back, really hungrier and better than ever, ready to lead this team to the playoffs.
And I quote, "So glad I have a front row seat to that show." That'd be Chandler Jones, who was number two in NFL Defensive Player of the Year voting. And I tell you, Wolf, in my years on the Cardinals sideline, there's always those players that get their teammates up off the bench. And you can count them on one hand. Tyrann Mathieu was that guy as a rookie when he came in. Guys wanted to see him. David Johnson in his first preseason game because they knew David Johnson was something just in the camp practices. And Kyler Murray was that guy a year ago. Everybody wants to see. Players know players, and they know this kid is special. It is interesting now to see all the national media come around. Even guys like Dan Orlovsky tweeting out this week a video breakdown of some of Kyler's reads and throws, things we all witnessed. You know, whether we're covering the Cardinals game, whether you're Cardinals fans, we saw it firsthand his first season, and now the rest of the NFL is sort of slowly coming around to the potential of a Kyler Murray.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Paulie. It's so cool to actually see this because in the National Football League, there is a new offense and there's an old offense for the most part, right? And a blending of the two, of course. But for the most part, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Would you say, Paulie, that's one of the new offenses in the NFL, right? The Patrick Mahomes and 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and one of those wide receivers, Tyreek Hill. Okay, and the jet sweep, and the danger, 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 Will Robinson, right? All the eye candy that the Kansas City Chiefs use. The movement, of course, that they use, the formations they use, but it's a lot of 11 personnel. And then you go to the other extreme. On the right hand, right? On the left hand, you got the Chiefs and 11 personnel and Patrick Mahomes. And then the other extreme of this new age, new era offense, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens using tight ends, 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, one wide receiver, right? This is a personnel grouping they use often, and they use it in rundown situations, and then they run Lamar Jackson, where you got Patrick Mahomes, who's all about the arm talent for the most part. Yes, he can use his legs as well, but on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Lamar Jackson. In between those two guys, Paulie, you've got Kyler Murray. You got Kyler Murray in a blending of 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and 13 personnel or 12 personnel using tight ends once again. It's the Cardinals offense. It's a blend of those two.
And it's interesting that you brought up Mahomes and Lamar Jackson as the bookends, if you will, because they are 1-2 in the MVP odds that were released this week by Las Vegas. Mahomes is the most likely to win the 2020 NFL MVP, 4-1 odds. Lamar Jackson is second, 13-2 odds. Dak Prescott is third, 9-1 odds. Russell Wilson, fourth, 12-1 odds. And then the two names that are fifth right now, 16-1 odds, Kyler Murray and Tom Brady.
Wow.
So already you know what Vegas thinks. And to your point, Wolf, you're right. You're either the have or the have not when it comes to your offense and the future of football. We talked earlier today about how Doug Peterson went and selected Jalen Hurts 53rd overall, even though they have $108 million guaranteed to Carson Wentz.
Yes.
And did you hear what Doug Peterson has said this week, that their offense is, quote, gonna look a little different this year? Interesting.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, Paulie, when you think about it, because Carson Wentz, he's missed, I believe it's eight games. Yeah, eight games the last 3 years, right? He got banged up in the playoff game as well. His body, he's been beat up a lot. He's a little brittle, I think. And boy, there's no doubt about it. The Eagles go out and they draft Jalen Hurts as high as they drafted him, Paul. Are you kidding me? They're going to play him. They think that Carson Wentz is brittle as well. That's what I think. And I think they could actually use two quarterbacks for the first time in the National Football League that we've seen in decades.
So we know how Mahomes and Lamar Jackson exploded in year two, but they had the benefit of a traditional offseason. That has not been the case with Kyler Murray. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked about the sort of progress Kyler has been able to make in a virtual world.
I try to talk to him at least once a week, if not more. And he's doing great. When you watch the installs with him and you watch plays from last year and you just notice how far he's come from training camp on. There's definitely a different level of confidence, a different level of command of the offense, and he feels it. Even though we haven't been able to get out on the grass, he definitely feels a lot more comfortable heading into year two. And so I'm excited to finally get my hands on him whenever we can.
And I'm not dismissing the fact they can't get on the field right now, but the fact he got 16 regular season starts, to me, that trumps everything and is going to really pay off in year two.
Paulie, confidence is so important, right? I mean, honestly, if you don't have confidence, you can't go out and pot a plant in the garden if you don't know what you're doing. And if you're not confident, you're not going to do it very well. Well, the same thing applies to anything in life, especially the game of football and trying to play the quarterback position. It's one thing to think you're confident. It's quite another thing to know that you're confident. And the only way you're going to know that you're confident is because you've gone out and done it already, past tense. That's exactly what Kyler Murray accomplished last year. Thank goodness for 2019, Paulie. Thank goodness that 2019 happened. That Cliff Kingsbury got his feet wet as a head coach. And that Kyler Murray played well. Got drafted, played well, paid off the Arizona Cardinals' belief that he was the best player in college football and took him number one overall and then paid that off, because that's going to reap all sorts of dividends in terms of Kyler Murray and his confidence in 2020.
He has the wherewithal to know what the offense looked like in September, and he was not a fan of it. Remember that comment in December about how bad it used to be and how much better it was by the end of the season? Most importantly, I think he proved it to himself. And then we're all just curious where it goes from here as we come back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Back to pass, Wilson, sacked by Chandler Jones. The ball is out, and it's still loose as the Cardinals couldn't scoop it up. Now it's picked up by Seattle on the 30-yard line. Homer out of bounds, losing about 18 yards. But how about Chandler Jones, his fourth sack, 19 on the season, two forced fumbles today. As the legend continues, Chandler Jones, one of the most underrated players in football.
That's a career high and a franchise record, 19 sacks, 8 forced fumbles on the year. He had 3 fumble recoveries and 5 passes defensed, and he was always the starting point of the opponent's game plan. Wolf, would you agree with that? I mean, you're going against the Cardinals defense, and you're starting with how do you defend against number 55, right?
Absolutely, Paulie, and now all of a sudden he's got a 3 technique inside him in Jordan Phillips that I think is going to help him make even more and do better in terms of production.
I mean, think about the offseason for Chandler Jones. Number 2 and Defensive Player of the Year voting. He then makes the All-Decade team, right? Turns 30. He's got to cope with the mental consequences of turning 30. And then he gets his college degree, Wolf. How about that? He graduates from Syracuse, and it was great to see the smile on his face. And, you know, he earned it, and he deserves it.
Did you hear him talking about Terrell Suggs as well, right? All the credit he gives T. Suggs. It's just, you know, it's his humility that I love so much, right? I mean, when you think of humility, I think of Larry Fitzgerald. And Larry Fitzgerald, as we all know, getting called out by Todd Haley, saying, you're a one-trick pony. We don't need to go back to that. We all understand how humble Larry is. It allows him to be the player that he is because he looks at where he needs to get better and then attacks it and overcomes that. Chandler Jones on the defensive side of the ball is exactly the same way.
And when he said that Terrell Suggs taught him to be, quote, more aggressive and
take some chances.
Yeah, go inside.
Right.
That a lot of those edge rushers, I didn't think about this, it makes sense, but you have contained, so you're reluctant and hesitant to go inside in some of your moves, and maybe you get a little predictable, right?
Exactly right, and you've got to do that. Now, all of a sudden, the Arizona Cardinals, they're so much better inside that box defensively. It's going to be so fun to watch this, Paulie. What's going to happen with Chandler Jones, right? Well, they're going to keep him on that edge. There's no doubt about it. Now, they'll flip him. They'll flip-flop him, but Jordan Phillips, I think, may travel with him, right? It's the same dynamic when Lawrence Taylor, the best defensive player in the history of the National Football League, I'm sorry, maybe the best football player in the history of the National Football League, Lawrence Taylor. They lined up Leonard Marshall inside him on that 3 technique. Man, it was lights out. I think the Cardinals are going to have a very similar dynamic. Not as juicy as what the Giants had, but depending on how Jordan Phillips plays, a very formidable three technique and edge guy, and then Devon Kennard on the other side, that's going to be big time.
And then think of who that unleashes. How about Corey Peters, our guest tonight, right? Special thanks to Corey Peters. And now the great thing is about him launching his virtual book club is when Wolf wants to tell me about the 14th century literature he's reading, I'm going to just send him over to Corey Peters. That's the great. You guys can have your own discussion, you know, Zoom or otherwise.
Paulie, this was a great show. Thank you, Corey, for improving it.
Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Mitch Bareldis, Veron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Yes, special thanks to the team captain, Corey Peters. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.